This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. About 600 people in Massachusetts take their own lives every year. Between 2003 and 2012, the suicide rate in Massachusetts rose 42%. That's an alarming increase, more than double the increase nationwide. At the same time, Massachusetts has one of the lowest suicide rates in the country. But if the numbers are right, 50 people in the state may kill themselves between now and the end of the year. All of this year, WBUR has been reporting on the issue of suicide in a series called Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows. We've looked at why Americans struggle to talk about suicide, what's being done to understand it, and what we can learn from people who've thought of taking their own lives or know someone who has. Right now, we want to focus on what's happening right here in the state, especially regarding preventing suicide. We're joined by Alan Holmland, who's director of the Massachusetts Suicide Prevention Program at the Department of Public Health, and by Taylor Lawrence of Taunton. Taylor was suicidal for much of her childhood. She's now 19 years old, doing a lot better thanks to her own personal safety plan that she adheres to. That plan includes online apps that help people with mental health problems. Alan and Taylor, nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Lisa.
Alan, first, paint a picture for us of suicide in Massachusetts. What about that figure of a rise of 42%? What is behind the increase?
The major issue is middle-aged white men. That's where the increase is here in Massachusetts. It's also where the increase is nationally. We don't understand why that's happening. The difference seems to be partly the economy, and primarily men not asking for help.
And let me ask you, Taylor Lawrence, you are 19 years old. You are white, but you are not middle-aged, and you are not a man. You suffered from depression and anxiety for quite some time, and you can tell us what your status is now. But I know that you were suicidal for several years, starting when you were about 12 years old. Can you describe that period and what you were going through?
It was mostly misunderstanding at school and just loneliness.
What do you mean misunderstanding?
I was at a private school and I was there with financial aid, and that was unlike everyone else, and I frequently got bullied for it. I was very antisocial and I tried very hard not to go to school. I would frequently pretend I was sick so that I could go home. And at the age of 12 is when my family found out that I had major depression. At 12 is when I made my first attempt, which is actually how my family found out.
And how many times after that did you attempt?
I have attempted at least 7 times since then.
How recently?
More than a year ago.
And right now, how are you doing?
Right now, I am doing very well in school and working with my counselors to get a job and support myself independently.
Now, this is very interesting because one of the things that has helped you, and Alan, I want to ask you about this as well, is that you came up, along with your therapist, with a safety plan. And the use of apps, and leave it to a teenager to tell us about technology, the tech world, and a smartphone app that is helping you in this way. And I think it'll probably help a lot of other people because there aren't just apps for suicide prevention, but also for anxiety and depression. Give us an example of one of them.
One of the apps that I actively use is called Optimism.
Okay, so you have your smartphone in front of you now. Tell us about it.
On the screen, we have sections dedicated to how you slept throughout the day and what you did to keep yourself calm. Also, we have a section for triggers, what makes you upset throughout the day, symptoms, and a section for charts and report, which can be sent to your doctor to track your progress.
But is there something immediate that happens as you're using an app that helps you?
It is a relieving sense to get it out there when you are feeling upset, when you are feeling sad, and there's no one you can really talk to.
Alan Holmland, does DPH endorse this kind of thing? Do you know how popular these apps are?
We know that they're popular. We know that many of the national suicide prevention organizations are offering apps. What we offer here in Massachusetts to keep up with the technology is texting, a helpline that Samaritans runs here in Boston that can be accessed through texting.
And what else is the state doing? What do you think is the most effective thing that the state is doing right now to help people through a very difficult period and prevent suicide?
I think the most effective is educating the public that suicide is a public health issue, that it is largely preventable. People can be taught the signs of suicide and the symptoms of depression. It doesn't take behavioral health training in order to ask the question of someone, are you feeling suicidal?
We followed at one point Lauren Gablinski of Samaritans, Inc., and she holds a suicide prevention awareness class. In this case, it was the Runkel Middle School in Brookline. Let's listen to a little bit of her teaching the class.
Some people might have a change in appetite. Some people might become antisocial. Maybe they just don't want to get out of bed. Maybe they're saying things like, I just can't do it, right?
Maybe if you're someone who has like a normal personality, then all of a sudden you can get like really quiet.
Okay, good. Maybe they have the lack of concentration and they're saying, what's the point of going to school? I can't concentrate on it anyways. And then their grades start to drop.
Taylor Lawrence, does that sound familiar to you, those symptoms?
Yes, that was my entire high school career.
And Alan, should this kind of thing be required?
In my opinion, absolutely. It makes a difference early on with students. The earlier we can intervene, the more helpful we can be.
And Taylor, you agree with that?
Absolutely. If I had gotten the help that I needed at the age that I had it, if the school officials had paid attention to how depressed I was getting, then it was possible that it wouldn't have had to end in a suicide attempt.
Repeated suicide attempts.
Exactly.
You came up, along with your therapist, with a safety plan. What is it? What do you do?
When I'm feeling especially desperate, it is just the most important part of my plan to keep myself from being alone, to go and find someone to be with, just because it's so much easier to prevent if you don't give yourself the means to do it.
You're feeling now?
I feel better than I ever have been. You never feel like you can get better when you're only in depression, when that's all you know. But once you have gotten better, it gives you hope to keep trying because you know what it's like to be happy.
Taylor Lawrence from Taunton, a student at Bristol Community College. Alan Holmland, director of the Massachusetts Suicide Prevention Program at the Department of Public Health. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa, for having us.
Thank you.